Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We with you, bro. We got your back. We're going to stand with you. We'll show them over there with their stiff upper lips. We'll show them a thing or two right here, right now.
Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave.
Well, I've been whitelisted in England. This is Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. And I guess I'm not white enough to make it over to England. Apparently, I don't fit in with their new society, with their cucumber sandwiches. I have been whitelisted by the Brits. And so in honor of the new Britain, which is, of course, a shadow of its former self, the Britain that I grew up loving and admiring for its Magna Carta and its stiff upper lip, which has become a quivering lower lip, I have written a new poem song for you called The Weather Vane. The Weather Vane, V-E-I-N, The Weather Vane. Guys, can you give me a little backdrop music, a little, not tra- No. I said no jazz. No, that's wrong. How about just giving me the rap beat in the back, and I'll try it with the rap beat. Okay, that's the one. The Weather Vane. I am Moses, I am Abraham and Isaac, I am Charlemagne, I am John Wayne, I am Coltrane. They try to suppress me, try to redress me, call me incorrect, deserving no respect. I am Patton, I am Hatton, even Mountbatten. I am Eisenhower, not a wallflower. I am Washington, I am Pershing, I am MacArthur, I am Kipling, I am Audie Murphy, I am Sky King. They'll steal your crown, trample you down, take your good name, put it to shame. I am Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Tom Mix. They try to push me over the River Styx, but it won't mix with my true blood, which runs thick for America. I am the bane of those vain. I am the weather vane. This is Michael Savage. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'm having a great time. You know, it's been said that you can't keep a good man down. And frankly, right now, when I hear Pastor David James Manning supporting Michael Savage, urging a boycott of the United Kingdom, I say, amen, brother. Pastor David James Manning, thank you. Now, you got to hear the rest of this pastor. He's the kind of pastor that definitely would not be welcome in Lily White, England, not today. He certainly wouldn't be invited to the correspondence dinner where only anti-American, anti-family, anti-Bible, anti-American jokes told for the jokesters at the tables who put the clown in chief in power. No, he wouldn't be invited to the correspondence dinner to do the number one stand-up. He wouldn't even be let through the door, as would I not be allowed through the door. Instead, just the stooges who gave us Izvestia and Pravda were invited to the correspondence dinner to listen to the new Whoopi Goldberg. Oh, boy, save me. God save the queen. I am Moses. I am Abraham. I am Isaac. I am Charlemagne. I am John Wayne. I am Coltrane, you see. So let's have a little bit more of Professor David James Manning supporting Michael Savage in clip 08, please.
Michael Savage! We with you, bro! We got your back! We're gonna stand with you! We'll show them over there with their stiff upper lips. We'll show them a thing or two right here, right now!
Manning, go to 06, Manning.
You're not gonna do it. You're not getting. No! No! No, you're not! Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't. Blacklist Michael Savage over there in the United Kingdom. No, you didn't. You not. Every radio listener talk show. And, hey, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, let's get on the case. Don't you remember the saying, if they come for your neighbor in the morning, they'll be coming for you by sundown.
No, they don't remember that because that didn't make it to disc jockey school. That was not taught in disc jockey school. Listen to clip two, and it gets even better about the whitelisting
anyway?
Of Michael Savage.
England, United Kingdom, who are they? You know, if they're going to boycott, if they are blacklisting, if the United Kingdom, if they're blacklisting Michael Savage, first of all, Russ Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, what you got to say about it? What you going to say about it? What you going to do about it?
Well, with regard to the first two, they did what I suspected they would do, which is do nothing because they're in it only for themselves, as I've long told you. Now, you've heard a lot of hot air coming out of talk shows about, oh, we're here, we got your back, we're for America, we're the real McCoy, we are Pershing. Yeah, right. They're coming at us with the First Amendment. Yeah, we're there for you. Oh, yeah. We'll be there waiting for the Fairness Doctrine. Well, my friends, they're the Maginot Line. They're the Maginot Line. They are the imaginary Maginot Line. They're the Maginot Line in their own minds with the enemy going around their back and taking a shot at me while they're still waiting for the Maginot Line to protect them from the government. The government just took a shot at my back from over there across the pond, and they're still saying, oh, yeah, we're ready to get you. When they come to get me, says Sean Big Thighs Hannity, yeah, I'm here, this way to the egress, buy my floor mat, oh, yeah, buy my used jeans, oh, yeah, buy my used undershirt, oh, yeah, see me talk, see me walk, see me squawk, oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you something. The enemy is not stupid. The enemy is not stupid at all. If they could take an imposter like Obama and make him president, you can imagine how smart the controllers are. And they didn't take a shot at the First Amendment over here because they knew that these disc jockeys were waiting for the shot to come in the form of a fairness doctrine. No, what they did was is they sent it over to this distorted dwarf over there, Jackie whatever, who belongs in a town council somewhere in Shropshire, running recipes on how to make Shropshire pudding instead of sitting there as our equivalent of a Homeland Security Secretary saying, yeah, keep him out. He's equal to a murderer. He's equal to a mass murderer. He's equal to a killer. And so therefore, my friends, that's the shot that they took at me. And not one word from the golfer, not one word from the wall banger, and a very tepid word from the leprechaun, only because you hammered him so hard with emails. The big loser here is Fox News. The biggest loser of all is Fox News. The biggest winner is CNN. Because at least CNN, although they came to get me with sound bites that were out of context, at least they let me talk. At least they let you give my opinion. They let me set the record straight so best as I could, given the format, and a more complete description of how they set me up and what these sound bites really meant, and in context of when they were said and how they were said and what they said and what else I said about those particular subjects, will be in a new book I'm putting out very rapidly. It'll be out shortly, and I'm going to have it up on the website so you can order it. That's right. That is correct. I'm setting the record straight, because before I leave this format, before I leave talk radio, before I leave this earth, that record is going to be set straight right here by Michael Savage in a small book with a CD, and I will set the record straight. And I'll be around long after Jackie Smith has been sent back to Shropshire to give cooking lessons in a prison for terrorists. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. There are some interesting articles linked up on my website. Perhaps the most interesting are the top two. These are the most interesting. One is from The American Thinker by a very well-known writer in the field of alternative medicine who he's known my work and I've known him for at least 25 years. We're not friends, but he wrote a fabulous article, and you got to read the article and judge for yourself, and you'll find out that everything they say about me is false. Peter Barry-Chowka is an investigative journalist who writes about politics, healthcare, and the media, and he wrote about Michael Savage in a wonderful publication called American Thinker, which is linked up on michaelsavage.com. You got to read it. But there's another article right underneath it that I suggest you read. This is actually humorous, but you have to know a little bit about humor, which I know the left is incapable of experiencing, because unless it's spelled out for them, I guess they're lost. You know, they can't really get the jokes unless there's a cue card which says laugh or spit. But the second article that just came out of England is really intriguing. It was written by Catherine Bennett from the London Guardian, and it is entitled, Yes, Jackie, Let's Keep Out Those Dangerous Homeopaths. And I will summarize both of those articles momentarily on the Savage Nation. But before I take my first break and invite you to call on this controversy here on the Savage Nation, I'd like you to play another piece of Mr. Pastor David James Manning supporting Michael Savage. One more Manning, if you don't mind.
Blacklist Michael Savage because he tells the truth? You're not going to do that. Hey, there are millions of us across America. Spread the word. Spread the word. You start spreading the word. Spread the word. We are now calling for a boycott of the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland until they respect Michael Savage. All he has done is told the truth on the long-legged Mac Daddy and all the baby killers in America.
I don't know. Who is the long-legged Mac Daddy? I don't know. That's a new one on me. Oh, my God. Whoa, watch out. He's definitely not going to be invited to the Queen's birthday. I'll be right back.
Savage.
If we as Americans, and especially radio talk show hosts and listeners, if we let Great Britain, the United Kingdom or England or whatever they call themselves, get away with banning, with blacklisting Michael Savage, if we let them get away with that, then they're coming for you next.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know Pastor Manning, but I would like to know him. In fact, if you're listening to the show with Pastor Manning, you're invited to San Francisco to dinner with me. That's all I can tell you. It's the most I can offer you is my company. I can't offer you anything more. I'll even pay for the dinner. 1-800-449-8255. Yes, Jackie, let's keep out those dangerous homeopaths, from Catherine Bennett of the London Guardian and Peter Chowka, Bill Moyers. He connects Bill Moyers. This is interesting. There's an article from The American Thinker, Michael Savage banned in the UK, okay? And he goes into a long story about the least wanted list of foreign undesirables. And there's a list of 16 people, and I'm the 16th, Michael Savage. And I'm controversial. Others excluded for fostering extremism include murderers, those in prison right now, leaders of gangs that beat immigrants and posted their films of attacks on the internet. Next is Samir Al-Kuntar, a Lebanese man who spent 3 decades in prison for killing 4 Israeli soldiers and a 4-year-old girl by smashing her head in with a rifle butt. They put me in the same list as that. And then they go on, and he goes back to my career beginning in talk radio. My PhD in nutrition and herbal medicine at University of California at Berkeley. And he said his take-no-prisoner style earned him rating success locally, ironically in liberal San Francisco. And later on around the U.S. when his daily talk show, The Savage Nation, went into national syndication in 1999-2000. Early on, Savage targeted borders, language, and culture as core issues and was a harbinger of the emerging problem of illegal immigration. So far, no problem, right? While Savage, as he himself has noted, is generally considered persona non grata and is typically ignored by the midstream media, there is also little love lost between Savage and many notable conservatives. And he mentions a jerk who used to work for CBS News, who's a turncoat named Bernie Goldberg. I don't know who he is, but The fact of the matter is this jerk Goldberg should be running a Furia store in Brooklyn, if there are any left. Bernie Goldberg is a faker who really should never have left the Furia trade that his ancestors probably begged him to. And Bernie Goldberg put Savage at number 61 on his list of 100 people who are screwing up America. And then he goes on and he talks about the George Soros-funded group Media Matters, who attacks me relentlessly. And then he talks about my reliable defenders, including WorldNet Daily and Free Republic. Now he gets down to where this came from. I'm going to read you now, in case you wanted to know how the Brits got my name and why they lumped me in with murderers. On September 12, 08, Bill Moyers weekly PBS program, Bill Moyers Journal, helped to set the stage for the latest UK-based demonization of Savage by implying in an inaccurate and one-sided report, Rage on the Radio, that the work of conservative American talk show host Savage in particular may have inspired the fatal shooting last year of two people at the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church in Knoxville. Why? Because books by Savage and other conservative writers were found in the shooter's apartment, according to Bill Moyers. But here's what your newspaper, why they're going out of business. Here's what the vermin in the media left out of that story. Interestingly, he writes, when the shooter, Jim David Atkinson, pled guilty to the crime in 09, he said that he wanted to kill all 100 people on Bernard Goldberg's list, a list that, as noted above, includes Michael Savage. And yet that did not stop that despicable, fraudulent corned beef feeder, O'Reilly, from having Goldberg on as though Goldberg speaks the truth to my reality. Shame on you. Shame on you, O'Reilly. If you had any guts, you'd have me on. But you have no shame, do you? And you have no pride and you have no guts, O'Reilly. I'm challenging you to have Michael Savage on the show. How dare you think you could get away with having that furrier on your show speaking for you? You didn't know that he put my name on a list of 100 people that he wanted to kill because he got it from your good friend Bernie Goldberg. Okay? On September 15, 2008, I reported on Moyers' PBS hit piece on Savage in an article in American Thinker. 8 months later, the British government seemed to be basing its decision to ban Savage on a similar and similarly undocumented and flawed theory as it describes Savage as, and they blah, blah, blah. But Savage said, I've never advocated violence. I've been on the air for 15 years, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for 15 years. I'll continue when I come back. I like corned beef, by the way.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So we're talking about the boycott. We're talking about where they may have gotten my name from because it makes no sense. They may abhor my politics. I accept that because they stand for the opposite. They stand for everything detestable in the world, in England. They stand. Did you know that it's a country where you can be arrested if you call a police horse gay? A man was arrested in England for going up to a cop on a horse and saying your horse looks gay. He was arrested. He was handcuffed and taken away. That's what England has become. It's right out of 1984. It's a nightmare over there. So I understand that they would find my truths offensive. But to lump me in with murderers is beyond offensive. It is defamation. It is libelous. And incidentally, I have engaged a British attorney. I should have a letter for you tomorrow to read on the air that will be sent to the Home Office demanding that they rescind this my name on this list. Period. Take my name off it or else. And we're going to see what happens. Maybe sober-minded individuals will come to their senses because, by the way, it's strange. It's strange to me that in England, almost the entire liberal establishment has come out defending me, with the exception of some Lilliputians in the Labour government. They've all said, while we find his views offensive, this list, putting him on the list, is even more offensive. And in America, only a talk show host who is opposite me, who no one listens to, it's shocking how he could go against his own audience and attack me and think that they're going to listen to him. He was syndicated lately because he sounds like Groucho Marx on Laughing Gas, and he's getting nowhere because he's nothing but Laughing Gas with ears. He attacks me. The others at least had the brains to support me if they said anything at all. But what do you expect from a lawyer who fakes it as a talk show host? So it turns out that the English probably got me my name from Bernard Goldberg's list of 100 people who are screwing up America. And the reason I say that is you don't know this part of it, is that the man who Moyers tried to link me as saying I caused violence, Jim David Atkinson, pled guilty to the crime in 09, and at the pleading, he said he wanted to kill all 100 people on Bernard Goldberg's list, a list that, as noted above, includes Michael Savage. So maybe Bernard Goldberg should be banned from England for having promoted violence and hatred. Or is it now they're going to invite him to give a lecture in Parliament? I don't even know who Bernard Goldberg is. I think it's somebody I met when my mother was alive, God rest her soul, who specialized in fox furs. The little fox heads, I think he still made them somewhere on the 2nd Avenue above a tailor shop. I have never advocated violence. I've been in the air for 15 years, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, 15 years. They take a few of my sound bites that amount to 1, 2, or 3 minutes of my whole life, and they try to refine me or redefine me by extracting sound bites out of context. Now, I could do that with anyone in the public eye. I could take anybody and edit what they say and turn them into whatever they want to be made into, what I want to make them into. You can do it with anyone on the planet who is public, and that's what has been done to Michael Savage. And for the English people to permit their government of Lilliputians to take a talk show host and put him in the same category as murderers who are in prison for Russia, prison in Russia, as Hamas operatives who have been released from prison after serving 10 years for having smashed in the head of a 4-year-old Jewish child after killing her parents, that says something terrible about Jackie Smith, not about Michael Savage. And I am straightening the record out. I'm standing up for myself. And you should be proud of me and you should support me. Now, I want to say something. Many of my detractors who don't listen to the show are saying, oh, you took an unknown man and you made him famous. You gave him his 15 minutes of fame. This just shows you how stupid they are. I'm famous. I have a large audience. I don't need the publicity. And to prove it to you, I'll prove it to you. And I'm saying this in a way that I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's the honest truth. Last week in the throe of this attack, I reacted the way anyone would who was viciously attacked, and I went on the assault, and I agreed to interviews at BBC Television and CNN. Perhaps I shouldn't have because they try to edit me into something I'm not again. But I'm the kind of guy who won't take it laying down. I will go down with a fight if need be, and I've been that way all my life. That's just how I got where I am. I didn't get here because anyone gave me a government handout. You know, I wasn't put here by Obama, and I wasn't put here by George Bush. I fought my way to this spot. No one wrote my books for me. I wrote my books for me. Nobody talked his heart out for 15 years to win an audience and keep them listening every day. I did it. You try it someday. The fact of the matter is, though, I don't need the publicity, not at this stage of my life. I want to level with you in ways perhaps I shouldn't. People tell me I'm a little too open-hearted on the Savage Nation. ABC's Nightline has been asking me to do an interview tomorrow. They want to send the crew out with a wonderful journalist, Martin Bashir, two-camera interview, and I reluctantly said no 2 hours ago. I've had enough publicity. I don't want it anymore. You see, my detractors say, oh, he's relishing it, he loves it. You're wrong. I'm not loving it. I'm not relishing it. I don't like this. I don't like being smeared. But I'm going to let things settle down a little, and I'm going to leave the muckrakers away from me. I don't want any of the muckrakers near me, stirring up the mud in order to try and cloud and muddy the waters all over again about who I really am. I will set the record straight, and after the lawsuit is filed, should it need be filed, then perhaps I'll go back and ask folks like the good people at ABC News Nightline to please see me then. I don't need the publicity. I'm not selling anything right now. Unlike many in the media who are constantly selling something, I don't want the publicity. I have my audience. I don't need anything more. And I want you to put that down. I don't need the publicity. I don't want the publicity. Now, let me go a step further. I am 67 years old. I have some minor medical problems that I've struggled with for years. I'm not asking for your sympathy. I've been very lucky indeed. I've had no major surgery. I have pretty good health, I guess, but things happen after a long period of time in the eyes, in various areas of your body, no matter how good you are. Because I've led a very good life and I've taken the right vitamins and I know what to eat. No one, you know, I veer off the course and have for a long time. But radio is a very stressful lifestyle, and it has been a long, hard 15 years. And I've been through a while. Now, I just signed up for another while, you know, to go again. But I'm very close to leaving the medium. But I'm not going to leave until the record is straight and my reputation is reestablished for what it actually is rather than what this Lilliputian has tried to make and what my detractors have said. But the fact of the matter is, I don't need the publicity. I don't want the publicity. Fact of the matter is, I'm doing this to defend my honor and my family name. Fact of the matter is, every night I go to sleep and I say, who needs this garbage? I don't want it anymore. I think of Johnny Carson. Didn't Johnny Carson leave television when he had a good 15 years left in him, Beowulf? Isn't that true? It's well known. He had a number of great years left in him. I think it was Johnny Carson, wasn't it? And he spent the rest of his life in Los Angeles on his big yacht and going to dinner and walking around anonymous. He didn't do any television. He didn't do any radio. He didn't need to keep his hand in the game. He disappeared from the public stage. And you know what? I'm very, very close to that. And had this not happened, incidentally, I probably would have been gone sooner rather than later. That's all I can tell you. So if anything, this a ridiculous and criminal assault upon my reputation and my name by the enemies of truth and the enemies of freedom is going to keep me in the radio business until I clear the record. That's all I can say to you. Okay? Does that clear the record? So get off my back. Just get off my back. Now I'm going to take your calls in the Savage Nation. But first, I need a breather. So play a little Pastor David James Manning in The Good One, The Screamer, The Yelling. I love it.
Michael Savage!
Yo, right on!
We with you, bro! We got your back! We're going to stand with you! We'll show them over there with their stiff upper lips. We'll show them a thing or two right here, right now!
That's it. That's good. Yeah, stiff upper lips. That was then. That was during the Battle of Britain. Now they got weak lower lips. They got trembling lower lips from eating too many cucumber sandwiches. KGIL, Los Angeles. Larry, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. On Friday, I was at the L.A. City Council meeting in Los Angeles. And during the public comment period, I spoke to the city council, who, by the way, had honored Lebanon and 10 people from Lebanon 5 minutes earlier. And I said, why don't you pass a resolution supporting Michael Savage's right to earn a living and to go to England? And it shocked them.
What happened?
Well, I have a tape of it if you want to hear it.
Well, I don't think you want to play it right now. Will it was a good sound, guys, or what?
They didn't hear it yet, but I've done it before on other shows. I've played tapes. I can play it over the VCR, and you'll be able to hear it.
Well, let's hear it. Let's see what it sounds like.
Okay.
But, you got to plug in the battery first?
Here we go. It's all ready to go. Here it is.
Go ahead.
Here it is.
Melrose Green. Good morning, everybody. My name is Melrose Larry Green, and I'm a proud member of the Savage Nation. A proud member of the Savage Nation. Every day at 3 o'clock, I am honored and thrilled to listen to every single word that comes out of Michael Savage's mouth. I agree with 120% of what Michael Savage says. Why am I here this morning? Because the Home Secretary of England has banned Michael Savage from entering England. And I am calling on the LA City Council this morning to pass a resolution supporting the right of Michael Savage to say what he wants. You don't have to listen to him any more than I have to listen to you. But Michael Savage represents millions of Americans. You're looking at one right now. And you know Tom Labange and Jack Weiss, you're my councilman, and you're my neighboring councilman, Jack Weiss. And you know Michael Savage has been a big supporter of Israel and the Jewish people. And he is not a racist. He's not a homophobe. He's not a hater. Everything that Michael Savage has said is right. And I think that this council will set history. The whole country will be looking to this council. If you pass a motion supporting the right of Michael Savage to enter the country of England, he brings in a lot of money to the city of L.A. Many people that live in the city of L.A. might be next. I used to be on the radio with the same station as Michael Savage. I, too, am a Jew. I, too, am a broadcaster. And I don't want to be denied the right to travel to England because of my political point of view. So, Michael lives up in San Francisco. The San Francisco City Council will never pass this kind of resolution. But I am asking you, please, pass a resolution supporting Michael Savage. I can't wait till 3 o'clock today. Liberals and mental disorder. If you don't pass
All right, so what happened? Did they then respond with boo and what?
Liberals will be confirmed. Thank you. Michael.
Oh. That was very good, Larry. What did they say? Let me hear what they said already.
That was public comment. In other words, you get to talk for 2 minutes.
I know, but what did they say to you?
I talked to a few of the councilmen afterwards, and they said to me, there's nothing we can do. But the reason why I called you, Michael, is that people all over the country can do this at their local city councils.
Beautiful. Well, I'm going to send you a gift, Larry. Larry, I don't know what to send you. Copy of Psychological Nudity. Would you appreciate that?
Me a Savage Nation hat. You know me, Mel.
No, the hats cost me too much. I'm joking. Larry, let me send you Psychological Nudity. God bless you, man. Thank you. I'd like to meet Larry, unless it probably drive me crazy. I wish I didn't. That's a wonderful thing the guy did. It really was nice. He doesn't know me. That's what I need is loyal support. I have found out who my friends are, and it's interesting. I found out who my friends are, and I found out who my friends aren't. There are people within my inner circle who I will never speak to again because they weren't there for me when I needed them. This is too personal. Okay. I found that there's certain members of my family who are so sick and jealous that I will never speak to them again. And yet I found strangers far and wide coming to rescue me, coming to my rescue, coming to, you know, to stand up with me, like the Pastor James Manning, people like that. Here's a man from Los Angeles speaking out for me. I had a friend who I had a falling out with about a year ago, came to my aid. He and I spoke yesterday, and we're friends again. You know, crises bring people together, and they drive people apart. And all I can say to you is, it's necessary to clear the air. Yes, my friends, this is Michael Savage. And as Catherine Bennett wrote in The Observer, yes, Jackie, let's keep out those dangerous homeopaths. I'll be right back. Savage. Michael Savage, 1-800. You know the number and the website. You know, I wanted to talk about something else for a minute other than about myself and my travails, which is this. I was watching TV last night. I completely lost my sex drive. I hope it's not permanent. I was watching National Geographic, and when I watched sharks mate, I never wanted to have sex again. It was so horrible. It was enough to turn me. I mean, I never saw any. Wow, you're talking about, I want to become a radical feminist. The male shark almost kills her. It's the same with camels. It's horrible. Well, anyway, so then that was bad enough, how a male shark grabs her by the gill and pushes her head into the sand. And the whole thing was crazy. It got worse with the penguins. I had heard about it with the Morgan Freeman with the penguin movie, but it was so sad I didn't even watch that movie. She lays an egg. Now she's exhausted, the female penguin, from laying the egg. It knocked her out. There's nothing left in her. She's got to go fishing again. So she passes the egg to her husband, the boy, the male penguin. And in passing the egg, one out of four of them break and the egg dies. That's bad enough. Then she has to schlep miles to the sea again to go swimming now for food. And the father stands in 40 below zero weather with the egg. He keeps it warm, hoping she comes back and makes a sound, barak, baboo. And he knows where she is and he goes, babak, baba. And they know who they are in the middle of the penguin colony. But somehow, in the middle of all of this, the penguin colonies thrive. So I started to think that if the Obama administration, particularly Al Gore, ran the Penguin Relief Act, and the Obama administration said, you know, we really have sympathy for those penguins. Look at them. They're naked. They don't have any clothing. They don't have a car. Welfare doesn't provide them with a car. And look at that. They're on the ice. They have no heating. It's freezing over there. We got to give them a government house. Got to give them a government shelter. That handling of the egg, why should a man have to sit with an egg when he could be downloading X-rated penguin pornography, provided, of course, by the government? And so we're going to make sure that we get into the Penguin Recovery Act as soon as possible, and we're going to make sure that the government takes care of the egg so that I'm sure that if this went on, if Obama got into the penguin breeding business, there would be no penguins left on Earth within 4 years. Because nature has a way of knowing how to survive. Governments don't know how to survive. Here you got a guy, Obama, who has never run a hot dog stand. Here you got Obama who never ran a business. Here you got a guy, Obama, who is now borrowing 50 cents for every dollar he is spending. Here is a guy who has run up the deficit four times larger than that Bush created in 08. Did you hear this? $1.8 trillion deficit for 09, four times larger than George Bush. The man is killing America as sure as he would kill a penguin colony, is how I thought about it. You see, The phone number here is you know what. The website is you know what. The time is 56 minutes after the hour, and I'm sitting here. My dog is laying at my feet, Teddy, the 10-pound poodle. We have written a letter to Jackie Smith to find that if Teddy, my dog, would be allowed into England without me, or perhaps they think that he has been permanently damaged by listening to the show all of these years, his 5 years of sitting under the table. Perhaps he got it by osmosis, and he will not be allowed into England. Although he's a 10-pound poodle who could never hurt a fly, he could be lumped in with pit bulls and dogs trained to kill. You never know, because after all, it's England. And although there's no England anymore, there certainly are petty bureaucrats. So Catherine Bennett writes an interesting article in The Observer, much too late to save Jackie Smith. But she writes, it emerges that there is, after all, a perfectly good reason to keep the American broadcaster Michael Savage out of the country. Belying and his unexceptional appearance as a raging disseminator of allegedly contagious hatred, the man turns out to be an unreformed homeopath. She says homeopath, okay? Of his almost 20 or so books on alternative health, many are still available, supplying valuable information, for example, on the whereabouts of potentially harmful plants. Elsewhere, he urges uncritical adherence to the primitive credo, like cures like. No apology or retraction of this work has ever been offered. Now, this is really well written. I got to read a little bit more. Though there is no way of quantifying the threat this healer might have posed to public rationality had he been allowed to visit the country, everything points to the need for caution, preemptive if necessary. Anyone shopping for Savage's anodyne polemic on Amazon will soon recognize this harmless stuff as a pretext for whisking fans to an array of more sinister manuals such as Secrets of Fijian Medicine. Readers who enjoyed Savage's enchanting The Enemy Within, Saving America from the Liberal Assault on Our Churches, Schools, and Military, will be efficiently steered towards the same author's complete book of homeopathy, etc. There is no evidence yet that the author of Liberalism is a Mental Disorder has actually devised a drug that could eliminate the condition forever. That honor surely goes to Jackie Smith. Now, this is writing. This is satire. This is literacy. Completely unheard of in America.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Show. And hey, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, let's get on the case. Don't you remember the saying, if they come for your neighbor in the morning, they'll be coming for you by sundown. Michael Savage,
well,
we with you, bro.
Oh, man.
We got your back.
I love it.
We're going to stand with you.
Wow.
We'll show them over there with their stiff upper lips. We'll show them a thing or two right here, right now.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's America coming together. I have a question. Turn off the music. I in the beginning of the last hour, I did something that was original called The Weather Vane, V-E-I-N, by Michael Savage. I am Moses. I am Abraham. I am Isaac. I am Charlemagne. I am John Wayne. I am Coltrane. Can I ask my regular listeners to tell me what music to put behind it so I can do it again? I didn't like the fake rap beat. It doesn't go to rap. The meter is wrong for it. If you want to call the show, what can we play behind it? The national anthem? Does that work? That's not going to work. And it's mocking the national anthem. Marine Corps hymn? No, I'm not a Marine. And it's not, you know, it's not appropriate. The Star Spangled Banner? No, that doesn't work either. You have any music from, how about the music from the movie Patton? Remember that music? You have that in the kit, in the kitty? I am Moses. I am Abraham. I am Isaac. I am Charlemagne. I am John Wayne. I am Coltrane. They try to suppress me, try to redress me, called me incorrect, deserving no respect. I am Hatton. I am Hatton, even Mountbatten. I am Eisenhower, not a wallflower. I am Washington. I am Pershing. I'm MacArthur. I'm Kipling. I'm Audie Murphy. And I'm Sky King. They'll steal your crown, trample you down, take your good name, and put it to shame. I am Gene Autry, Roy Rogers. I am Tom Mix, who they try to push over the river Styx, but it won't mix with my true blood, which runs thick for America. I am the bane of those vain. I am the weather vane. All right, the ending is no good because the music wasn't right. Should have come up on an upbeat on the end, but by and large, that was not bad. That was the Battle Hymn of the Republic, Beowulf? Is that what we were playing? Yeah, it was good. That was good. The opening was very good, but it started to peter out. The meter should have been a little high. It should have been hotter toward the end. So I'm going to read the last stanza again. So when you remix this, we can remix I Am Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Tom Mix. Or try, blah, blah, blah. So let's get it. No, bring it up already. I got to speed it up because I'm going to read the last stanza. I am Gene Autry. I am Roy Rogers. I am Tom Mix. They try to push me over the river Styx, but it won't mix with my true blood, which runs thick for America. I am the bane of those vain. I am the weather vane. I am Michael Savage. Bing, that's it. Okay. All right. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. We're just doing a little live recording, remixing, right? You know, live radio, that's all. Someone said, Jacob Green Bay, go ahead, please. Jacob, what sound would you suggest for the background?
I would suggest that you play Amazing Grace that is played on the bagpipes.
All right, hold on. Get me some Amazing Grace. I'm going to try one stanza. I don't think so, but we'll see. It's a little too sad and slow. Do you have the music from the great movie Patton? I don't know what they're playing in that, but that was good. We can't use it, of course, but just for the recording it on the show. Nothing right now? The weather vane, V-E-I-N. Maybe we could shift music in each stanza. I don't know. I always feel very sad when I hear the... I can't do it. I want to start crying. I want to start breaking things when I hear bagpipes. It makes me very sad because the last time we played it was when they buried the four officers in Oakland killed by that subhuman. The subhuman who had raped a 14-year-old, yet they held celebrations for the subhuman in Oakland. And, of course, the man who caused the deaths of the four officers is now ensconced in the White House, a man who ran Cop Watch, was selected, handpicked by Obama to make certain that cops are easy targets in the new America, you know. But that's the world you're living in today. So that's why I don't like to listen to bagpipes. What else do we have? David, Modesta, go ahead, please. What would you use as a background for this?
I think you should go with some Rammstein, Mike.
Okay, we can't copyright it. I mean, the weather vane's already been sent to my lawyer for copywriting as a song. But, okay, start. Yeah, but Rammstein has lyrics. Do we have Rammstein without lyrics, guys? Pick the Rammstein without lyrics. Any one of them without lyrics. Let's hear how it goes with a strong background. Just so we can see what we can do. I got to go at a half faster pace. And a one, and a two, and a one. Now it's a... Silent Bardo. No. No, it doesn't have the right meter. I'll try. Do it again. Good. Just try it again. I am Moses, Abraham, Isaac. I am Charlemagne. I am John Wayne. I am Coltrane. They try to suppress me, try to redress me, call me incorrect, deserving no respect. I am Patton. I am Hatton. Even Mountbatten. I am Eisenhower, not a wallflower. I am Washington. I am Pershing. I am MacArthur. I am Kipling. I am Audie Murphy. I am Sky King. No good, because now the German lyrics come in. But in the beginning, all right. See, what was the point of my song, ladies and gentlemen? The Weather Vane. Okay, this is now suddenly the graduate school that I created on the radio, the Graduate School of American Studies. The purpose of the song was this. As I was, riding my bike, but that's not true. It was another bodily function this morning when, you know, I was thinking clearly. And it dawned on me. I actually get my best ideas on my bicycle lately, you know, the hyperoxygenation. Yesterday I took a long ride, longer than I've done in years. This has actually energized me because I want to fight back. It's funny how sometimes things come at you when you least expect them and you find out who you are. You know, there were times I wanted to leave it all together, but not now. Now I'm staying. I'm staying till my name is cleared and my name is off that list. But so anyway, I said, wait a minute. What is it that they find offensive in England? They really know who I am. They know about all the books I've written. They know what I really said. They took these sound bites that don't add up to 3 minutes out of context. They say that summarizes 15 years of preaching on this radio show. Impossible to believe that that's what they would do to me. So I said, wait a minute. My views are a sum total of myself. And myself, I'm an American man. I was once an American boy. I was born in an American hospital. I was raised in the public schools of New York City. I watched movies. I went to religious school. I learned from certain heroes I had. So I said, who are your heroes? Who did you learn from? Because we are a sum total of our parts. Do you understand why the radical left understands that if they grab your child young and they usurp, for example, the rainbow, if they usurp everything and twist everything into their reality, they can brainwash your children into little goose-stepping soldiers of the left? I grew up in another time. I grew up with different role models, with different heroes. And so I said to myself, wait a minute, I'm the Weather Vane. So let's go back to the beginning, I thought. Who were my role models? Who were my intellectual or mental teachers? Moses, Abraham, Isaac. John Wayne, Coltrane, Charlemagne, okay? Patton, Hatton, even Mountbatten, even Eisenhower, Washington, Pershing, MacArthur, Kipling, Audie Murphy, Sky King, Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Tom Mix. These are some of the individuals who I looked up to as a child growing up, who I try to live up to in my life. Don't you understand that we are a sum total of what we read, what we see, what we hear, what we're exposed to? Or I don't know if you see it that way, but we pick up. I don't know if that's 100% true, because we see a lot of things. I mean, I've seen so much television, I wish I could erase it from my mind. I do. If I could have it all over again, I would never have watched 1 minute of television. I probably never would have gone to one movie. If I had a choice in my life, but I'm an addict, I'm a media addict, and I'm too deep in it to get out of it. But the fact of the matter is, I'm a product of all of it. But remember now, in all of these years, over 50 years of watching television and watching movies, it's actually over 60 years, trillions of images, right? But look who I've picked to share with you as my role models. I could have also picked Charles Manson, but he's not affected me in any way. I could have picked Mussolini. I could have picked Attila the Hun. I didn't say any of those people were my role models. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? In other words, it's not necessarily who we're exposed to as to who we are. In other words, who we are innately, perhaps, is who we relate to in the geography of our soul. In other words, you get a lot of images. Did I say Hillary Clinton was a role model? No. Did I say, you know, without getting comedic in a political arena, I could pick another couple of goats and say no. So, I don't know. These are the people. I was raised to believe in the Old Testament. Then I was raised to love the Western heroes. Remember, my earliest Western heroes as a child were Roy Rogers, Gene Autry. I love those guys. I had two little cap guns. And anyone who came to the door of my little apartment, there was this little kid with two little cap guns waiting to greet them, saying, stay away. So they were my, you know, teachers. Sky King, great man, flew a little pontoon airplane into the Alaskan outback. Loved Sky King, loved it. But I could also say I am Lassie, because there's a bit of Lassie in me, too. I could also add some animals and say I am the eagle, because I am the bald eagle. I could also add other animals to this. I could add women to this, because there were women role models. Not many, admittedly, but there are some. I could say I am Madame Curie, because it would be true if I said that. I could say that I am some medical heroes that I could add in there and say I am them. I could add Linus Pauling to the list, for example. So the weather vane, in other words, explains to you who I am mentally, and therefore when the UK bans me, they're banning them. They're banning Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Charlemagne, John Wayne, Coltrane. They are banning Patton, they're banning Hatton, they're banning Mountbatten, they're banning Washington, Pershing, MacArthur, and Kipling. They're banning Orny Murphy and Sky King. I'll be right back. Savage. So if any good comes out of all of this, it'll be that America will wake up to where we are heading and how we could become just like these brittle little Lilliputians in England unless we're very careful. I was very pleased to see that, of course, for their own reasons, even far-left groups like the ACLU were opposed to the ban. They did so, you know, for their own reasons. But nevertheless, they did not use this opportunity to spite themselves, so to speak. That was intelligent of them. But the only good to come out of this would be that, as I say, perhaps we can save ourselves from falling into the same state of disrepair as England has, and that the world will suddenly come to see the body of work I created before I became a talk show host when I was writing books in the field of alternative medicine and doing research. These obscure books that I killed myself to write over 20 years perhaps will have a new life, and perhaps Healing Children Naturally, which I consider to be the most important book I've ever written, will become a widely read book in many languages in that it can save children around the world from the growing threats of over-medication and misdiagnosis by a greedy, corrupt pharmaceutical and medical establishment. And perhaps Jackie Smith will ban Healing Children Naturally. Michael Savage, Ph.D., written by a parent and author of 17 books on the subjects of health and nutrition at the time. And maybe she doesn't want to permit me to lay the nutritional groundwork or tell you natural approaches for natural complaints from allergies to whooping cough, so to speak, or give you any recipes for resistors that are these are all vegetarian recipes that I gleaned over many, many years. And diets for children, diets that don't require drugs. I mean, it's amazing when you think about it how I began my book called Healing Children Naturally. One, laying the nutritional groundwork, feeding for prevention, cancer, a leading cause of children's death. I don't know if this is still true, but here's how I opened the book. One of the most suppressed statistics is that more children under the age of 15 die of cancer, including leukemia, than of any other cause aside from accidents. This alarming fact is reason for worry but not despair, because there is now a trend away from a magic bullet approach to cancer toward the preventive concept of altering environmental factors associated with certain cancers. Now, I go into certainly food and diet are such environmental factors. To reduce the cancer risk, notice I'm not selling a cure, to reduce the cancer risk, we may adjust the diet of our children. You know, I was way ahead of my time, and I write pediatricians often uninformed about nutrition. And my program is centrist. Food is the best medicine. I'll give you an example. Back in the day when I was writing health books, I wrote about a chemical. I didn't discover it, but I popularized the knowledge that onions, take the humble onion and garlic. They were being sprayed with a dangerous chemical called malic hydrazide, which prevented onions and garlic from sprouting. Okay? And today I was cutting up a piece of garlic that sprouted in my kitchen because I only buy organic garlic, or I grow it. And I said, my God, how many people have gotten cancer simply from maliachydrazine. How come they don't know about this? I said to myself as I cut up my garlic. Anyway, I got to go back to, yes, Jackie, let's keep out those dangerous homeopaths from England, Guardian, UK. When the Home Office bans people, she writes, we should at least know why. And then she writes about, you know, my writings as a alternative medicine medical writer. And so she goes on and she says, hurrying to justify his presence on its excluded list, the Home Office naturally focused, since it was easy to measure, on the offense generated by Savage, the professional offense manufacturer, rather than on ostensibly respectable work by himself under his family name. Even though under his health books, we can be confident his radio broadcasts did not provide incalculable support for Radovan Karadzic when the blood-soaked Serb changed career becoming a complimentary healer in Belgrade. Then she goes, but the Home Office was desperate. Once the name Savage had been featured as the token racism deflector on Smith's list of sociopaths, the government needed a crime that vaguely fitted his punishment. In the recent case of Geert Wilders, invention of irrelevant fiction had been relatively easy. There was a video, Fitna, in which he criticized the Quran. So long as people didn't watch it, and how tempting really did it sound, Wilders was toast. We have a profound commitment to freedom of speech, David Miliband said, but there is no freedom to cry fire in a crowded theater. Careful not to see Fitna himself, Miliband could never be accused of traducing the reputation of a fellow European politician. Last week, with no evidence worth misrepresenting, it fell to David Winnick, MP, to endorse Smith's exclusion of a man nobody had heard of. Though he was keen on freedom of speech, Winnick told Newsnight, always had been, there could be no welcome here for a person who described various people in such terms. Winnick said, we should say to this chap, come over. Not even if it were on an exchange visit with Chris Moyles. I don't know who that is. I know what a Moyle is, but I don't know who Chris Moyles is. Within 4 months, then, exemptions to Britain's cherished tolerance have advanced from objecting to the Quran to embrace reports of coarsely phrased skepticism about various illnesses. What next? No holidays here for chickenpox deniers? Gagging orders for anyone who wonders if this dyslexia business is getting a bit out of hand? Imprisonment without trial for anyone who thinks that the current Home Secretary is a shaming, incompetent clown whose greed will remain famous even after every one of her fellow colleagues has been similarly disgraced? And they go on. Let's see. But while Smith is allowed to make up the rules, it's futile to look for consistency. Wilders was bad enough, but the ban on Savage is so far from being a comprehensible act, so staggeringly capricious and stupid as to defy evaluation. Smith may as well have defended a ban on a foreign rabbit or an offensive mango. Or an offensive mango, she writes. Coming to the UK is a privilege, she raved last week, and I refuse to extend that privilege to individuals who abuse our standards and values to undermine our way of life, close quote. And then the writer says, and which way of life might that be, Smith? The one whereby denying clinical evidence can get you classified as an undesirable alien? Or the way of life that offers similar deniers a homeopathic qualification and a berth within the NHS? For guidance in these rudderless times, one falls upon a brand new guide to our collective identity being British, the search for values that bind the nation. In his introduction, the Prime Minister takes as his theme our nation's precious tolerance, quote, and it is tolerance, he whiffles, that has helped the positive enrichment of our nation by the long succession of newcomers it is both attracted to these islands and then helped to integrate, close quote. Sure, it looks a bit out of date now, but let's be fair to Brown. At the time it was written a few months back, he'd never heard of Savage, and in all probability, Savage had never heard of him. Well reading, well written, and worth reading. And it's up on michaelsavage.com. But again, please allow me to ask you, if I may, if you think that as a result of this, more British or fewer British are liable to look for my book, Healing Children Naturally. It turns out that I wrote books that were published in England, by the way, over the years. And one of them was published by a British publisher called Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's. It was never a big seller because it was too ahead of its time. It talked about the connections between various environmental factors and the onset of Alzheimer's. And some people who are into it read it. But, of course, I don't even know if the book is still in print. But I want to show you how far ahead of my time I was. Healing Children Naturally was first published in 1982 by myself. 1982. And I republished it back in March of 07. It's sold on my website, michaelsavage.com. Now, many of you avoid foods, for example, and I'm not going to digress very long, that have hydrogenated oils. And you know, hydrogenated oils, no hydrogenated oils, no hydrogenated. It's on every package now, no hydrogenated. But you don't know what hydrogenated oil means. It's like Barney Frank doesn't know what a business is, but he knows how to talk about businesses. Barney Frank
can take it to General Manager.
The only close thing Barney Frank ever came to running a business was a male house of ill repute in his boyfriend's apartment many years ago, but now he's running General Motors, apparently, in banks and financial institutions. So many of these people say no hydrogenated oils, but they don't know what it means. But on page 134 of Healing Children Naturally in 1982, here's what I wrote: hydrogenation, shortening a highly processed fat. And I write, I'm explaining to you what it is, so you know what hydrogenated oils are. I can read it to you, but you can read it yourself. All I can tell you is that I was 25, 30 years ahead of my time. I always have been. I was against the drugging of our children. I have lobbied hard and long to stop the drugging of our kids with Ritalin. I was a pioneer in this field because children are being used like guinea pigs by the medical pharmaceutical establishment, both by declaring them to have diseases that don't exist and then drugging them for diseases that don't exist. So when I describe what hydrogenation is in Healing Children Naturally, I do so clearly and simply so you understand what it is. The bottom line is, I conclude by saying, needless to say, this hydrogenated fat has been robbed of all the valuable vitamins, minerals, and essential fatty acids that were present in the original oil, leaving behind nothing but calories. Hydrogenated fats are commonly called for in recipes in the form of shortening, for example, in baked goods. It is always preferable to use wholesome butter or unsaturated oils for such purposes. It's simple, but it explains it. Then I go on to French fries carry hidden cancer risk. I know that's... that is definitely a reason to ban the book in the land of fish and chips. What? The man wants to ban deep frying for children because it has a hidden cancer risk? That alone should keep the book Healing Children Naturally out of England. Potato chips, high in fat, salt, low in nutrients. Bedtime, what to feed the children, herbs as food and medicine. So I'm very proud of this book. Drugged cows produce drugged milk. Processed cheeses contain much water. Ice cream, an infrequent treat. I'm not going to read the whole book to you, but I mean, many of you have bought it in the reprint. And I do so not because it's going to buy me a new boat. I don't need a new boat. I'm very happy with my old boat. Not because it's going to buy me a new house. I don't need a new house. I'm very happy with my old house. I do it because I want you to understand there's a conspiracy to use your children as guinea pigs. And what kills me about this whole story is that many of you will go out of your way to make certain that your pets do not eat artificial flavors or colors. You actually are more careful with what you buy for your pets than you are with what you feed your children. How many times I drive by stores in the morning and I want to scream when I see mothers who should know better giving the child a chocolate drink in the morning with a croissant. I feel like going over and saying, lady, you're killing your child. You're making your child sick. Your child's going to have a rapid decrease in blood sugar in about 45 minutes to an hour. He's going to lose his focus. They're going to claim he's got a disability and suggest that you put him on Ritalin. Don't you understand a diet has something to do with your child's behavior? But I don't say anything because I would be arrested here in the land that is not too far behind Britain. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Okay, Healing Children Naturally. May all of you read it for the sake of our children, period. So that's the story. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. I've lost my Telos, so I have to keep, you know, have to put in passwords and this word. If you want to call me, hold on 1 minute. I have to do all this myself because I am such a powerful broadcaster that I work alone in a room. And as a result of that, I'm the most dangerous man in Britain. Password rejected. I can't even get on my internet. So I can't get callers. All right. Yeah, my staff is on it. They put aside the glue bottle, and they're going to help me right now. What would you like me to talk about now? Give me a caller, anyone. I don't really care. Throw someone up. Not about music, please. Just give me a caller. Okay? Give me a caller, any one of them. Go ahead. Tony. Tony, Sacramento, go ahead, please.
I'm going to be able to come over anytime soon. And I
Tony, hold on. Let's start again. Go ahead. Hi, Tony. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Oh, my God. What are you doing to me today? For God's sakes, it's a radio show. New York, WOR. Brendan, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I applaud your outrage about being banned from England, but I hope you're not too insulted by it, because although the media and the schools look up to England and the English crown and think it can do no wrong, the truth is that England has long been a leader in bigotry and oppression all over the world, and most notably the Irish Catholics. And what's happening to you is just another example that things haven't changed too much over there.
I almost moved to Ireland back in the late 70s. You know, that if it was, I don't know what is a quirk. I was choosing nations. I was trying to leave America. I think Jimmy Carter was president at that time. Whatever it was, I wanted to leave America, never come back. Jimmy Carter had so destroyed this country. He was the grandfather and the godfather of Obama's thinking, by the way. Obama's like Jimmy Carter on steroids when you think about his social policies and the danger he's putting us in the world. I mean, he's the apologizer in chief, go down the list. The budget borrowing 50 cents for every dollar he's spending. Jimmy Carter on steroids, but he's getting away with it for obvious reasons. I almost moved to Ireland. I never would have had a radio show had I moved there. You know that? Brendan, I always identified with the Irish people. I know how badly they were treated. I do. I know the whole story. It's horrible. You know, there was a great movie about the Browns and the Blacks. I think it was called, what's that movie with the wheat? Something in the wheat and the rye, whatever. Does anyone know the name of that movie? The wheat that chases the barley? I don't know. That sounds very, very salacious. What do you mean, the wheat that chased the barley? That sounds like something about barley. The wind that shakes the barley, right. The wind that shakes the barley. I thought you said the wind that chased the barley. It was like an innuendo or something. The wind that shakes the barley is an incredible movie, little known here in America. And it opens with a group of Irish schoolboys, teens, playing soccer. And a group of oppressive Brits, they took the lowest thugs who they couldn't deport to Australia or put into the British government. In fact, they took the worst of the worst. They put them in makeshift uniforms called Browns and Blacks. And they went in and they beat some of these boys. One of them they beat almost to death. You got to see this movie, particularly if you're interested in the history of the region. Anyway, it's a side note, little off there. That's 1-800-441. What do you got? You got who? I don't want to hear a trailer. Soon the show will be over an hour and a half. I'll be going down somewhere, go dinner, whatever. Life goes on. Life goes on. I mean, living well is the best revenge. Yes, this could get worse before it gets better. I'm not celebrating my victory. I didn't win anything yet. We are filing a letter with a British attorney. It's costing me a lot of money. I don't think this is coming easy. And I have an American organization that will shortly be filing a letter with our own State Department and Attorney General to protect me as an American citizen. Very serious stuff. I mean, what if you wind up on the list tomorrow? What if you're an American preacher who is very strong in his statements, or what if you're an American rabbi strong in your statements? You won't come to my defense because you think that it doesn't affect you. But remember, my friends, if those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. And here you are living in fascistic times, only because it didn't come from someone wearing a swastika in Germany, you think it has nothing to do with you. But what happened in Britain with Michael Savage is no different than what happened in the early days of the Third Reich. And I'll stand by those words, because I've studied the emergence of Adolf Hitler. It didn't start with death camps. It ended with death camps. I'll tell you what it started with. The first law that the Third Reich passed said that Jews cannot swim in swimming pools with Aryans. That's all it was. It was innocuous. But the Jews said, who cares? Who wants to swim with them anyway? You know, they used ghetto humor to say, who needs them anyway? We'll swim in our own pools. They didn't quite understand where it would lead, any more than most of you understand where banning Michael Savage in UK might lead. And so although I haven't received one letter of support from a Catholic organization who I supported for years, although I have not received one letter of support from a single Jewish person, although I have supported Jewish causes and the Bible for years, although I have not received one letter of support from many, many others who I have gone out for, such as the U.S. Marines. I have sent money to Marines. I've sent tens of thousands of dollars to fallen cops from whom I never even got a letter of thanks from their families or the people raising money. I didn't do it because I needed a letter. But here I am in my time of need. Not one cop, not one rabbi, not one preacher, not anyone outside my own world has come to my aid. That tells you that you're vulnerable because either we stand together or we will all fall apart. I'll be right back. Savage. Hey, look, I'm banned in Britain, but the story has just begun. It certainly hasn't ended yet, and I'm going to be telling the story on the show on a regular basis. As the letters go out and the responses come in, you will hear it first in the Savage Nation, and then I'm going to make a documentation of it in a book so that I set the record straight before I leave the airwaves, and that you'll have this documentation in your libraries. I know many of you want it, and I'll tell you about it as time goes on. I got to tell you, I've been up and I've been down over the last week. People say, the few friends that I have asked me the most important question, which is, how is it affecting you? If you think this is humorous, fun, or it's great for ratings, you're a very sad person. I said, I've been all over the map. I've been up, I've been down. I've been frightened, I've been encouraged. And I went to the Bible, as usual in times of need. I have to go back to the old olive growers, who, to you atheists, simply were deficient in niacin. But to me, I see the Word of God. God and some of it. Now, Job was a depressive at times. I went from Job to Ecclesiastes. Job said what I thought this week. He said, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not perish at birth? This is amazing, terrible stuff. Why did the knees receive me, and wherefore the breasts that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had I been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth, who built up waste places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as a hidden, untimely birth I had not been, as infants that never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. There the prisoners are at ease together. They hear not the voice of the taskmaster. The small and great are there alike, and the servant is free from his master. It doesn't get more depressing than that. But don't tell me you've never thought about that, like, woe is me, why was I born? You know, Job's tears have a meaning to those who read the Bible and understand what that means. But then I found the uplifting parts in the Bible. Ecclesiastes, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure of his labor. This also I saw, that it is from the hand of God. And that's a very important one when you're down. You got to understand that the Bible has everything in it. You probably haven't heard that one. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure for his labor. This also I saw, that it is from the hand of God. And then, of course, the important one, which is turn, turn, turn to everything there is a season, which I'd like you to start playing now in the Savage Nation. And I will ask you to listen to the lyrics. Time to weep, huh?
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven.
Listen carefully.
A time to build up, a time to break down. A time to dance, a time to mourn. A time to cast away stones.
All I can say is God bless America and thank all of you for listening to this show. I love all of you.
Savage.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now, here's what I've been talking about today in the Savage Nation. A black preacher who came to the defense of Michael Savage. His name is David James Manning. He's come to my defense in the strongest possible terms. He's attacked the British for trying to suppress freedom of speech, and he's eviscerated other talk show hosts for refusing to join in the fight. Where is the rest of the African-American community in defending a talk show host who better represents their views than any neoconservative or neo-Marxist? We then talked about the comedian-in-chief. The president did the usual stand-up routine at the correspondents' dinner over the weekend, and as usual, they cheered wildly. Another comedian who attended the event wished bodily harm on another prominent talk show host, wishing that his kidney failed. No word on whether the British government will ban her. Dick Cheney telling it like it is. Dick Cheney is outraged that we're releasing the prisoners at Gitmo. When will America realize that the one good thing Bush and Cheney did was to protect America from another 9/11? We've talked about how the midstream media picked up the story of Michael Savage being banned in Britain, how even the liberal CNN started talking about it right away, how the leftist media of Great Britain was introduced to Michael Savage immediately, and how Fixed News, Fox News, under unrelenting pressure from its viewers, finally had to deal with the story, even though Bill O'Reilly, the leprechaun, barely mentioned my name. Isn't that sad? What we're finding out now, though, is that an online revolution of sorts was triggered by Jackie Smith's decision to ban me from Britain. According to Foreign Policy magazine, it created a, quote, viral tsunami, which completely defeated the intent of the British government's attempt to suppress Michael Savage's freedom of speech. Websites such as Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter came alive with commentary about the Savage ban. According to a website that tracks discussions on Twitter, conversations about Michael Savage and his being banned from Britain hit a huge spike the day after the travel ban was announced. Foreign Policy magazine even coined a new term, the Savage Effect, which it describes as a phenomenon in which efforts to limit the dissemination of information in the analog form backfire and are trumped by the viral power of digital communications. So by trying to strike me down, they have made me more powerful. By trying to push me off the old line forms of media communication, they have only made me that much more popular in new forms. What the left failed to understand is, though, for a short time they may be able to control the midstream media and who comes into the country. They cannot control the new samizdat, the new literature that the mainstream establishment considers to be subversive. The internet and talk radio is something that they will never be able to suppress, not with the internet at least. It's unbelievable that the lunatic Jackie Smith, the Home Secretary of England, bans me from setting foot in the UK, but allows others with known militant and socialist ties to travel freely, permits murderers in her midst. Joining us today is Umberto Fontova to talk about not just who they're letting in, but who they're even celebrating over there.
As always, thanks a lot, Michael. Just when you thought leftist hypocrisy and double standards couldn't possibly yet any more outrageous, I, like a lot of America, obviously read about Miss Jackie Smith's banning of Mr. Michael Savage from setting foot in Great Britain. And I saw who you were lumped in together with, and I said, whoops, that's kind of crazy. As I started going further and I was researching something that I was writing, I see that Che Guevara's daughter, Aleida Guevara, will be in Britain next month, June 28th, she will be in London at the Barbican Center. That is like, from what they tell me, I've never been there, but it is a gigantic convention center in London, one of the biggest in Europe, where they are holding the Cuba 50 festival. In other words, the same government that is banning Michael Savage from setting foot in Britain is holding a 50th anniversary celebration for Castro's Stalinist regime.
No.
Yes, indeed. And they claim, they bill it as the biggest such celebration in Europe, which tells me it will probably be the biggest one in the world outside of Cuba itself. And who is the keynote speaker? Who is the main draw at this thing? Aleida Guevara, Che Guevara's daughter.
Why is Che Guevara's daughter a problem?
Well, but she has stated very frankly that she's going there to promote her father's values. She considers her father a banner to the world, and she is going to London to promote her father's ideals. And it's so interesting because hate speech is the charge, is the rap used against Mr. Michael Savage. Hate speech, this, hate speech, and that. Well, well, well. Let us look at some of Aleida's father's speech. It is amazing because the word, the actual word, hatred, appears in like every third sentence of his 1966 message to the Tricontinental Conference, which was basically a conference of terrorists held in Havana in 1966. He started out by saying, hatred is the essential element of our struggle. Hatred that drives a normal human being beyond his powers and converts him into a cold killing machine. We must fan our hatred to paroxysms against those hyenas, meaning the United States. There is no option but extermination. He says, we disavow the peaceful approach. He says that the victory of socialism will require oceans of blood to flow. And he said that the victory of socialism is worth millions of atomic victims. So here we've got a guy advocating and justifying the extermination of millions of people by nuclear weapons. And his daughter, who is going to be there, again, I repeat, to promote her father's ideals, is being given the red carpet by the same government that is banning Michael Savage. You cannot possibly make this stuff up. This one was just so blatantly outrageous. Aleida Guevara, on top of what I've just mentioned, is a minister, is a government minister of a Stalinist regime. Miss Jackie Smith's government will be, well, maybe not her government, but they will be hosting the celebration, the biggest in the world, according to what they say, for a regime that jailed political prisoners at a higher rate than Stalin's.
They ban me, but they celebrate this regime that is notorious for their violence towards their own people?
It is quite another thing to actually put your hate speech to action, which is what this regime being celebrated in London next month actually did. During 1964-65, there were forced labor camps all around Cuba that were called UMAPs, Unidades Militares para la Ayuda del Producción, military units to aid production. Actually, what they were, they were forced labor camps. And what they did, this regime, Castro and Che's regime, they rounded up primarily youths, especially those who tried to grow long hair, who tried to listen to rock and roll music, and herded them into forced labor camps surrounded by barbed wire, by barking dogs, and by machine gunners. Tens of thousands of Cuban youths suffered this. Hundreds of them died of torture and beatings in these camps. And I repeat, this is the government hosting this celebration who is banning Michael Savage for hate speech. I don't know. You can't make this up. But again, Michael, thanks so much for helping us get the truth out there about what went down in Cuba.
Thanks, Umberto. The more we find out about this ban, the more people are supporting me. I, Michael Savage, will be right back.
Savage.
Smith banned me from visiting England simply because of my political views and lumping me in with murderers. Joining us now for the Radio Equalizer is Brian Maloney.
Well, Michael, thanks for having me on the show. You know, when we're at the point where we're banning people from entering a country simply because they have views that other people don't agree with or that the ruling party does not agree with, we're in a very, very dangerous situation. And when you look at what the beleaguered Labour Party, which, by the way, is going to be crushed in the next election coming up. They're expected to take third place in local elections. Third place. We're seeing a new world order, all right, one where you must agree or we're going to take every punitive action we can against you. We hate to be giving Obama ideas here, but that is exactly where this leads. It starts with the Labour Party. It starts with Hugo Chavez. It starts with Fidel Castro. It starts with all of these people, and then it continues on to a world that we're not going to like. Our children are not going to have the freedom that we've enjoyed. And that is where this move has really shocked people. Where you've seen people that would ordinarily be trashing you, Michael, in this case, at least, you know, at the very most, they're being silent. Or perhaps they're criticizing it somewhat. But the people that would ordinarily jump on this as another to bash Michael Savage are, in this case, taken aback a little bit. You know, wait a second. Where are we going here? Are we really going to start picking and choosing the viewpoints that we allow into our country simply on the basis of whether they agree with the ruling party or not?
You feel this was a strictly political move?
Now, this was obviously a desperate measure taken by Jackie Smith, the Home Secretary. And it's true, Gordon Brown's government is about to collapse. But I think what's more important here is whether this kind of concept catches on. At what point, for instance, do we take that here at home where you can't live in San Francisco anymore unless you can pass a litmus test? At what point throughout this entire country do we start selectively allowing who enters here, even as a tourist, based on what they believe? You clearly were not planning anything to do with the United Kingdom in the future. You were clearly not planning on visiting the country. But beyond that, there is an incredible level of hypocrisy here, and that is that you are singled out when there is so much coming from the left these days in terms of just pure hatred that Jackie Smith and the Labour government have no idea. They haven't heard about any of it because it doesn't make any kind of publicity. You're not reading about this in the news because when the left is on a tirade on the radio, I mean, who's listening for one thing? But secondly, the mainstream media refuses to cover it.
Hateful speech from the left? That's impossible to believe.
The examples are incredible. We have one pressed a violence fantasy toward then White House Press Secretary Dana Perino. A month later, he was calling for Matt Drudge to be hung. Every one of these pigs that have ruined this country in the past 7 years, we're going to haul these pigs out in front of the American people, and they are going to be forced to testify. If you testify and tell the truth, nothing will happen. Don't tell the truth, and we're going to use enhanced interrogation techniques on you. On that very show, the producer slash wife to use overtly racist slurs to demean Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal using a mock Indian voice. So these are the sensitive people. These are the people we're supposed to celebrate and love because they're on the left. But again, did Jackie Smith know about any of this? Of course not. No. And if she did, she would not, because this is in sync with her own viewpoints. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of other examples of hate speech coming from the left and left-wing talk radio every single day. But you don't hear about it. You don't read about it. You don't see these people banned. You don't see them punished. Somehow they aren't racist when they're doing all of this simply because they are on the left.
Well, what's your take on what's going to happen next?
Well, first of all, I think in terms of the fallout for you, Michael, I think it's very clear that there is a certain amount of sympathy that has been developed even among people that don't really like you. There are people who have seen this and said, you know, I don't think this is fair. I don't think it's right. We've seen columnists. I've read columns in the Telegraph, in the Times, other British papers in the last 48 hours saying, you know, why were we banning this guy? And secondly, they have made you a household word in a country where you weren't being heard on a regular basis before. Now, millions of people in the United Kingdom are checking your program out to find out what you've been saying. So had Smith not made this move, none of this ever would have happened. So the backlash is absolutely enormous. What has happened, and even your detractors have had to admit this, is that you have been made famous in a place where you were not always generally known, and that is the United Kingdom. So I don't know whether they will make a stupid move like this ever again in the UK, at least while this government's in power, which won't be much longer. But whether this kind of pattern continues throughout the world, whether we see other governments emulate this kind of move, particularly here in the U.S., that remains to be seen, and that could very well happen. So we're using the tactics of a Hugo Chavez. We are using the tactics of the Stalinists. We're using the tactics of Fidel Castro and North Korea and other places around the world, the despotic regimes, Robert Mugabe. And we're taking all of that, and we're using it in what is supposed to be the civilized free world. And there's something terribly wrong about that.
Brian Maloney, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me on. Great to be on the program tonight.
This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Savage.
I have a dream. I have a dream that one day free men and free women will be judged not on the correctness of their political views, but on the content of their character. I have a dream that all the mindless mandarins that plague the body politics in all nations will be driven out of all their little cubicles in all massive faceless government buildings around the world. I have a dream that they will be made to answer for all the vile, petty judgments they have placed on others, that they will be called to account for all the careers and livelihoods that they have ruined, that they will reap the just rewards of all the suicidal insanity that they have sown. I have a dream that one day all the people of the world will rise up and throw off the shackles that small-minded malcontents have placed on them, and that they will be free to enjoy the fruits of their own labor and their own ideas in a way they best see fit. I have a dream that one day I will sail a ship filled with such men and women, those with free and open minds, on the same route over the Atlantic Ocean taken by American convoys as they went to resupply the British in World War II. I have a dream that this ship will land in England, dock in England, and it will set foot on British soil and say, tear down this wall that you have placed before me. Tear down this wall against freedom of speech. And I have a dream that then the people of England, inspired by the glory of their fathers before them, will stand up, tear down the wall of ignorance which has stood against them for so long, and declare with me, this is the land of Winston Churchill once more. All right, play Blue Monday.
Blue Monday, how are you? Blue Monday, got to work.
The dangers of a socialist government is becoming more and more apparent. Just look at the nations in the world that would ban people from visiting only for their political views, huh? In such nations, the government tends to micromanage everything from education to health care. Joining us now is Dr. Peter Breggin to talk about how this type of government care is something we need to shun.
Thank you, Michael. With the looming probability of a national health care system in the USA, no one seems to be looking at the most threatening and even tragic, unintended consequences for our society and morality. Inevitably, universal health care will lead to bloated, unsustainable costs. This will be followed by vigorous attempts at cost-cutting. The cost-cutting will be driven by progressive values. Progressives will have created the system, and they will be deeply embedded in the bureaucracy. The first six inevitable consequences deal with cutting costs by suppressing or destroying human life. First, we'll have increased birth control and slower population growth. Why is this inevitable? Because it's a progressive value, and because preventing birth is the cheapest way to curtail the cost of pregnancy and child health care. An eventual resumption of involuntary sterilization is a real possibility. In the last century, the same people who pushed birth control successfully promoted involuntary sterilization. Second, abortion rates will rise. Again, this is inevitable because it's a progressive program already, and because next to birth control, abortion is the most efficient way of cutting down the cost of pregnancy, delivery, and infant and child care. Third, euthanasia for medically expensive children will gain in popularity, especially for those children who have limited potential to recover and to contribute to society. This will take two forms: passive euthanasia by withholding treatment, and active euthanasia in the form of hurrying death. Fourth, we'll see the promotion of euthanasia for other vulnerable groups: the chronically ill, the dying, and the elderly. They draw most heavily on healthcare resources. Fifth, patients will be pushed out of hospitals into home care, hospice care, and custodial nursing homes. This will be done under the guise of utilizing more humane or even caring or advanced alternatives to hospital treatment. But in reality, it will reduce costs and shorten lives. Sixth, assisted suicide, already a progressive agenda item, will be pushed for depressed and suicidal people, pain management patients, and the chronically ill. Once again, cost-cutting will masquerade as kindness. The seventh through the tenth consequences are more general but equally tragic. Seventh, psychiatry will demand increased use of involuntary drug treatment. In the past, people had to be committed to mental hospitals to force treatment on them, but laws in many states now permit involuntary outpatient commitment. Healthcare practitioners invade the home to hold down helpless patients to inject them with mind-numbing, toxic drugs against their will. This is far cheaper and more efficient than locking up the same patients in a state mental hospital or providing them with truly helpful forms of rehabilitation and therapy. Eighth, there will be the expected general rationing of health care. This impacts on everyone, including the chronically or terminally ill and the elderly. That's why Canadians stream into the U.S. to avoid waiting lines for everything from joint replacements to life-saving cardiac surgery. Ninth, medical innovation and medical investment will decline, and fewer physicians will bring vigor and intelligence to their work. Without our profit-driven system leading the way, new developments in health care will decline for everyone in the world. Tenth, socialized medicine will lead to the legalization of drugs like marijuana and heroin. There will be two purposes. First, to reduce the cost of the war on drugs, and second, to provide a huge new source of tax revenue to support the bloated cost of health care.
It sounds like you're saying this is inevitable here.
Yes, only the degree or extent is uncertain. Most, if not all, are already occurring in Europe and to some extent in our more progressive states. But even in Europe, these consequences have not yet come close to reaching their most tragic proportions. That's partly because the West still remembers the mass sterilizations in the U.S. and Europe that spanned several decades of the 20th century, and closely related with the euthanasia programs, the mass murders of the mentally and chronically ill, that set the stage for the Holocaust in Nazi Germany. But most importantly, the U.S. has thus far held back on fully socializing its medical care, thus continuing to provide the world with advances in medicine and moral restraints against the European culture of death.
Well, what's the antidote to this poisoning of our freedoms?
First, we must make every effort to maintain our health care system on a free enterprise footing. Second, we must re-emphasize basic American values of individual freedom and treasuring individual life. Individual freedom of choice is written into all our founding documents, in our history, and it's written in our hearts. Less tangibly, perhaps, is respect for life itself, a treasuring of every single human life, regardless of practical considerations like financial cost. This is written more into our Judeo-Christian ethics than into our political system. Once we start to weigh the worth of a life versus the cost of its health care or even its existence, we unleash dreadful moral consequences on our society and on ourselves as individuals. And that brings us once again to the refrain of my weekly report, the primary principles: protect freedom, take responsibility at all times, express gratitude for all your gifts and opportunities, become a source of love. This is Dr. Peter Bregan. You can listen to all my radio reports and download the transcripts at www.bregan.com. That's BREGGIN.com.
Thanks, Dr. Bregan. If we're not careful, we're going to lose everything that made our society great. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
In honor of the new Britain, which is, of course, a shadow of its former self, the Britain that I grew up loving and admiring for its Magna Carta and its stiff upper lip, which has become a quivering lower lip, I have written a new poem song for you called The Weather Vane. The Weather Vane, V-E-I-N, The Weather Vane. Guys, can you give me a little backdrop music, a little, not tr- No. I said no jazz. No, that's wrong. How about just giving me the rap beat in the back, and I'll try it with the rap beat. Okay, that's the one. The Weather Vane. I am Moses. I am Abraham and Isaac. I am Charlemagne. I am John Wayne. I am Coltrane. They try to suppress me, try to redress me, call me incorrect, deserving no respect. I am Patton. I am Hatton, even Mountbatten. I am Eisenhower, not a wallflower. I am Washington. I am Pershing. I am MacArthur. I am Kipling. I am Audie Murphy. I am Sky King. They'll steal your crown, trample you down, take your good name, put it to shame. I am Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Tom Mix. They try to push me over the River Styx, but it won't mix with my true blood, which runs thick for America. I am the bane of those vain. I am the Weather Vane. This is Michael Savage. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'm having a great time. You know, it's been said that you can't keep a good man down. And frankly, right now, when I hear Pastor David James Manning supporting Michael Savage, urging a boycott of the United Kingdom, I say, amen, brother. Pastor David James Manning, thank you. He's the kind of pastor that definitely would not be welcome in Lily White, England, not today. He certainly wouldn't be invited to the correspondence dinner where only anti-American, anti-family, anti-Bible, anti-American jokes told for the jokesters at the tables who put the clown in chief in power. No, he wouldn't be invited to the correspondence dinner to do the number one stand-up. He wouldn't even be let through the door, as would I not be allowed through the door. Instead, just the stooges who gave us Izvestia and Pravda were invited to the correspondence dinner to listen to the new Whoopi Goldberg. Oh, boy, save me. God save the queen. I am Moses. I am Abraham. I am Isaac. I am Charlemagne. I am John Wayne. I am Coltrane, you see. So let's have a little bit more of Professor David James Manning supporting Michael Savage in clip 08, please.
Michael Savage! We with you, bro! We got your back. We're going to stand with you. We'll show them over there with their stiff upper lips. We'll show them a thing or two right here, right now.
Manning, go to 06, Manning.
You're not going to do it. You're not getting... No. No. No, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't. Blacklist Michael Savage over there in the United Kingdom. No, you didn't. You are... You not... Every radio listener talk show. And hey, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, let's get on the case. Don't you remember the saying, if they come for your neighbor in the morning, they'll be coming for you by sundown.
No, they don't remember that because that didn't make it to disc jockey school. That was not taught in disc jockey school. Listen to clip two, and it gets even better about the whitelisting of Michael Savage.
England, United Kingdom, who are they? You know, if they're going to boycott, if they're blacklisting, if the United Kingdom, if they're blacklisting Michael Savage, first of all, Russ Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, what you got to say about it? What you going to say about it? What you going to do about it?
Well, with regard to the first two, they did what I suspected they would do, which is do nothing, because they're in it only for themselves, as I've long told you. Now, you've heard a lot of hot air coming out of talk shows about, oh, we're here, we got your back, we're for America, we're the real McCoy, we are Pershing. Yeah, right, they're coming at us with the First Amendment. Yeah, yeah, we're there for you. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, 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 we'll be there waiting for the Fairness Doctrine. Well, my friends, they're the Maginot Line. They're the Maginot Line. They are the imaginary Maginot Line. They're the Maginot Line in their own minds with the enemy going around their back and taking a shot at me while they're still waiting for the Maginot Line to protect them from the government. The government just took a shot at my back from over there across the pond, and they're still saying, oh, yeah, we're ready to get you when they come. Yeah, yeah, I'm here. I'm here, I'm here, you're this way to the egress, buy my floor mat, oh yeah, buy my used jeans, oh yeah, buy my used undershirt, oh yeah, see me talk, see me walk, see me squawk, oh yeah. Well, let me tell you something, the enemy is not stupid. The enemy is not stupid at all. If they could take an imposter like Obama and make him president, you can imagine how smart the controllers are, and they didn't take a shot at the First Amendment over here because they knew that these disc jockeys were waiting for the shot to come in the form of a fairness doctrine. No, what they did was is they sent it over to this distorted dwarf over there, Jackie whatever, who belongs in a town council somewhere in Shropshire, running recipes on how to make Shropshire pudding instead of sitting there as our equivalent of Homeland Security Secretary, saying, yeah, keep him out. He's equal to a murderer. He's equal to a mass murderer. He's equal to a killer. And so, therefore, my friends, that's the shot that they took at me, and not one tepid word from the leprechaun, only because you hammered him so hard with emails. The big loser here is Fox News. The biggest loser of all is Fox News. The biggest winner is CNN. Because at least CNN, although they came to get me with sound bites that were out of context, at least they let me talk. At least they let you give my opinion. They let me set the record straight so best as I could, given the format, and a more complete description of how they set me up and what these sound bites really meant, and in context of when they were said and how they were said and what they said and what else I said about those particular subjects, will be in a new book I'm putting out very rapidly. It'll be out shortly, and I'm going to have it up on the website so you can order it. That's right. That is correct. I'm setting the record straight, because before I leave this format, before I leave talk radio, before I leave this earth, that record is going to be set straight right here by Michael Savage in a small book with a CD, and I will set the record straight, and I'll be around long after Jackie Smith has been sent back to Shropshire to give cooking lessons in a prison for terrorists. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. There are some interesting articles linked up on my website. Perhaps the most interesting are the top two. These are the most interesting. One is from the American Thinker by a very well-known writer in the field of alternative medicine who he's known my work, and I've known him for at least 25 years. We're not friends, but he wrote a fabulous article, and you got to read the article and judge for yourself, and you'll find out that everything they say about me is false. Peter Barry-Chalka is an investigative journalist who writes about politics, healthcare, and the media, and he wrote about Michael Savage in a wonderful publication called American Thinker, which is linked up on michaelsavage.com. You got to read it. But there's another article right underneath it that I suggest you read. This is actually humorous, but you have to know a little bit about humor, which I know the left is incapable of experiencing, because unless it's spelled out for them, I guess they're lost. You know, they can't really get the jokes unless there's a cue card which says laugh or spit. But the second article that just came out of England is really intriguing. It was written by Catherine Bennett from the London Guardian, and it is entitled, Yes, Jackie, Let's Keep Out Those Dangerous Homeopaths. And I will summarize both of those articles momentarily on the Savage Nation. But before I take my first break and invite you to call on this controversy here on the Savage Nation, I'd like you to play another piece of Mr. Pastor David James Manning supporting Michael Savage. One
You're
more Manning, if you don't mind.
Blacklist Michael Savage because he tells the truth? You're not going to do that. Hey, there are millions of us across America. Spread the word. Spread the word. You start spreading the word. Spread the word. We are now calling for a boycott of the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland until they respect Michael Savage. All he has done is told the truth on the long-legged Mac Daddy and all the baby killers in America.
I don't know. Who is the long-legged Mac Daddy? I don't know. That's a new one on me. Oh, my God. Whoa.
With blacklisting Michael Savage, if we let him get away with that, then they're coming for you next.
This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.